إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, which is our sixth session, dealing with the topic of al-iman, faith in al-qadr, al-iman bil-qadri khayri wa sharri, believing in the divine free decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good of it and the evil of it. And we have been reading from the book of Al-Allama Hafiz Ibn Ahmed Ibn Ali Al-Hakami Rahimahullah, which he entitled Alam Al-Sunnah Al-Manshura I'tiqad Al-Taif Al-Naji Al-Mansura. Last week we began to discuss the second level of the four levels of Al-Qadr. The first of them being what? Al-ilm, knowledge. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's perfect and complete, including everything. And the second level is Al-kitaba, the writing or the recording, that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had previous knowledge of that would take place until Yawm al-Qiyamah, it was recorded. And the third level we said is what? Al-Mashiyah. Yani that everything is subject to the will of Allah. Nothing is outside the will of Allah. It is either subject to His irada, al-qawniyya, His universal will, that when He wills it, it must happen, or subject to His irada, al-shar'iyya. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated in the divine law. And the last level that we mentioned concerning the levels of al-qadr, we said is what? Al-khalq, the creation. That everything that exists is the creation of Allah. There's only one creator. There's no other creator. Everything, every creature that exists and their actions and their characteristics are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, yani, we will discuss in detail when its turn comes. As far as the second level, Al-Kitabah, last week we looked at question number 142. And that question deals with the types of taqdeer that are listed under the recording, under the second level of recording. So how many types are there? Types. Naam. Five types. Naam. The Shaykh, he said there are five types. Taqdeer. Yani the things that Allah had recorded from the pre-decree, what He had decreed. And the first of them we said is what? At-taqdeer al-azali. Which means what? It's okay. That's good, shukra. What do we mean by taqdeer al-azali?
Allah's knowledge, eternal.
Allah's knowledge, eternal knowledge. Yani what He decreed to be, even before He created the heavens and the earth. Even before He recorded what He pre-decreed. But this taqdeer al-azali refers to the pre-decree, that was the eternal pre-decree. Yani, from 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth, He had it written, recorded. Naam, it recorded. And Allah knew what He was going to record even before it was recorded. The second type of recording, the taqdeer al-umri. And the third type, taqdeer al-umri. So what is the difference between the second and the third? Now, the first one is when Allah took the covenant from the Bani Adam, from the children of Adam. He took the covenant. Which covenant is that? Now, when Allah asks the children of Adam, the human beings, to confirm, to acknowledge, to bear witness, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Rabb? And the second taqdeer al-umri was when? Naam. At the time of giving life to the nutfa, naam, when the nutfa and he is in the womb of the mother. And there's a recording of four matters, which we didn't talk about yet. But inshallah, we already know what they are. And after this, the fourth type of recording is what? At-taqdeer al-hawli, which means yearly, the yearly taqdeer. Every year, which takes place when? Laylatul Qadr. And the last type? Yawmi. Yawmi. What do we mean by the taqdeer al-yawmi? What does that really mean? Execution of all that has been pre-decreed. Every day, when its time comes. Now, Alhamdulillah. After this, we looked at question number 143. What is evidence for at-taqdeer al-azali, the divine pre-decree, which Allah wrote 50,000 years before He created the earth? And what is the evidence for the first of these types of recording? At-taqdeer al-azali. We mentioned one ayah from the Quran, and we mentioned a few hadith. Somebody give us, what is the ayah of the Quran that we mentioned? Naam, as-salam. Naam. What does this mean?
No affliction in the earth, or in yourselves, except that it's in the book. Qabla an nabra'a, before it's with the.
Naam. But there's no affliction that befalls in the earth or in yourselves, except that it's already recorded in a book before Allah brings it into being, before He causes it to occur. And indeed, that is easy for Allah. This ayah is a very, very important ayah. And we discussed it, and some points related to it. And again, I advise you to go back and read the tafsir from any book that you can read from the scholars of Sunnah, whether it's from the tafsir of As-Sa'di or the tafsir of Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir or other than them. Rahimahumullah, jamian. The tafsir of this ayah is very beneficial. And last week we didn't read the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. So we are still in need of it. After this we mentioned some hadith. Three hadith. Can anybody mention one of them? Hadith is proof of the taqdeer al-azali, the eternal pre-decree. Hadith. Naam, Salih. Naam. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. Naam. Naam. That Allah, He said, Qadr Allah wa Katab Allah. Both narrations came. Naam. That Allah wrote the pre-decrees of everything in the creation before he created the heavens and earth by 50,000 years. And at that time his arsh was already existent above the water. Allah had written the maqadir of the khalaiq, the pre-decrees for everything in the creation, 50,000 years before he created them. Naam, another hadith. Other hadith. About the pen. Hadith of the pen, now. The hadith of Abu Hurairah, naam, that the Prophet said to him, yani that the pen has dried with everything that will be, that will occur, and it has finished its writing. Meaning that the matter is decided, it's settled, nothing will be changed in it. The writing has taken place and the pen has dried. Other hadith. One other hadith, naam. Oh, yeah, inshallah. Naam, anybody remember the other hadith? Naam, Ma'mun. I mentioned that hadith. Ajiban I mentioned that hadith, but not that one. Naam. From the book that the Shaykh mentioned. Yeah, what is it? When Allah first created the pen? When Allah first created the pen, what? Before that. When he first created the pen, he told the pen to write. And the pen said, what shall I write, Ya Rab? Now everything that is going to occur until the establishment of the hour, hatta taqumu sa'a. Anyway, this is yani the main points that we mentioned last week. And today, inshallah, we want to take the next question, which is question number 144. And again, we're talking about the second level. Still, we are dealing with the second level, al-martaba al-thaniya, the second level of the iman and qada, and that is al-kitaba, the writing or recording. And this question is, ما دليل التقدير العمري يوم الميثاق؟ يعني what is the evidence for the تقدير العمري, the divine pre-decree which Allah wrote concerning the life and everything that would happen in the life of the individual at the time of making the covenant, al-mithaq, yani the covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from all the human beings that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. So they took this covenant, they agreed that they would not make shirk, that they would not worship anything along with Allah. Naam. So what is the evidence for this? This is our question. What is the evidence for this taqdeer, al-umri, at the time of the taking of the covenant by Allah from the children of Adam? The Shaykh, he says in the answer, قال الله تعالى وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. That's how the Shaykh mentioned it. This ayat is from which surah? Any ayat? Naam, it's from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th surah, 172nd ayah, 7172. Naam?
What about when the child is in the fourth?
That's different. We didn't come to that yet. That's different writing. That's at the time, yani naam, when the fetus is in the womb. Before that, we're talking about now. We're talking about when? We're talking about when Allah took all of the offspring of Adam from his back, from his loins. Before they brought into this world, before we were created in this world. إِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Remember when Allah, your Rabb, when He took from the children of Adam, from their loins, from their back, their offspring. Yani from all of the children of Adam, one generation after another, he brought forth their offspring. وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ And he commanded them, he made them to bear witness against their own selves, bear witness to this truth of لا إله إلا الله. He said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your Rabb? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا They said, yes indeed, you are our Rabb. We bear witness to this. And the end of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا أَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ And in the meaning, and so that you will not say, so that you all will not be able to say that we were unaware of this on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ that we didn't know anything about this. We didn't worship Allah because we didn't know that He was our Rabb. So Allah made the people, every human being, to bear witness from the beginning. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ بَلَى So they acknowledge that Allah is the Rabb. Naam. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir has a long discussion concerning this ayah. And that shows the importance of this ayah. The length of his discussion concerning this ayah is unbelievable. Yani if we were to read just what he said about it, the full statement of what he said, that will be more than one class. Just what he said about this ayah. So we'll summarize some of it, a little bit of it. He began by saying, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَىٰ أَنَّهُ اسْتَخْرَجَ ذُرِّيَّةَ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبُّهُمْ وَمَلِيكُهُمْ وَأَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ Naam. Said that Allah the Most High is informing us that He drew from the children of Adam, from their loins, their offspring, شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ making them to bear witness against themselves, that Allah is their Rabb, and that He is their King, and that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. This is the meaning of أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ He made them to bear witness what? that He is the Rabb, that He is the Malik, and that He is the Ilah, that there is no Ilah besides Him. لا إله إلا هو. This is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَطَرَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ كَمَا أَنَّهُ فَطَرَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَجَبَلَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ يعني Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir is saying here, not only did he make them bear witness, but he created in their nature the inclination to this matter. He made it natural from them, their natural disposition. فَتَرَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ Created them upon this, on this reality, that he is the only Rabb, and he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Rum. Surah Al-Rum is 30th surah, 30th ayah. نعم وَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ هَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ To the end of the ayah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said فَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ هَنِيفًا يعني make your face to be upright and make your body, your soul, your being to be upright upon the fitra, the nature, the natural disposition that Allah created the people upon. And there should be no change in that which, in the creation that Allah has created the people upon. And in the fitra. So here, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir is making us to know that this ayah means that Allah made the people to bear witness, that He is their Rabb. And then He also made it within their nature. Their natural inclination is to worship Him alone. And then he mentions that which is reported in Sahihain, Bukhari, a Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ That every child that is born upon the fitrah, the natural disposition to worship Allah alone, and not to worship anything along with Him. And then it is their parents that make them Jews or Christians or Magians. The end of the hadith. Hadith from Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah. And this again is confirming the point of what? That not only did he make the human beings bear witness, but he created them with the nature, the natural disposition to worship him alone. And then Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions a number of hadith. I will just mention one of them in Sahih Muslim from Iyad ibn Himar. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يقول الله تعالى إني خلقت عبادي حنفاء فجاءتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم عن دينهم وحرمت عليهم ما أحللت لهم. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've created my servants and in the upright manner, upright, hunafa, and inclined towards tawheed and disinclined from a shirk. And then the shayateen came and turned them, caused them to deviate from their deen and made haram upon them what Allah has made lawful. And again, this hadith is also a proof, this hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the people were created hunafa and ala fitra, naturally inclined towards tawheed, until they were caused to deviate by the shayateen. Now the Shaykh mentions a number of other hadith, and there are too many to mention, but anyway, in summary, one of them is a very beautiful hadith reported by Bukhari, Muslim, and Ahmed from Anas ibn Malik. I'll just mention it in summary. Radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it would be said on Yawm al-Qiyamah to a man from the people of the hellfire, what do you think? If you had everything in the earth to give as a ransom, to ransom you from the hellfire, would you give it? He said, yes, yes, you would give it. And Allah said, what I had asked you for was less than that. I had asked you for less than that. Yani, when I took you from the back of your father Adam, I only asked you, and la tushrika bi shay'an. I only asked you, don't worship anything along with me. Don't make anything as an associate or a partner with me. But you refused, and you insisted on committing shirk. And in this hadith, is why is this important? It confirms the point of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the people from the, all of the children of Adam from Adam, from his loins, and took the covenant from them. This hadith is a proof of the covenant, and it's also a proof. Now on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a person that's going to be punished in the hellfire, if they had everything in the earth to give to ransom, they would give it up. But in this world, he didn't even ask for that. Don't give up everything in the earth, just don't make shirk. But they refused to do it. So as a Muslim, it's incumbent upon us to think about how, then what is the significance of this matter? The danger of shirk is so severe, and its consequences so severe, that if a person had everything in the world, they would give it up to save themselves from the consequence of shirk. But yet in this world they still engage in shirk. And some of the Muslims also. And I don't even mean minor shirk, I mean major shirk. Muslims who are going to the graves. The Muslims who are calling upon other than Allah. And other things that are really shirk. So we should avoid it at all costs. And after this, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions the hadith that Imam Ahmed mentions from Umar ibn Khattab when he was asked about this ayat. And that hadith the Shaykh mentions in the book, so we won't mention it here, we skip it, but we will come to it inshallah after, and when we go to the section of the hadith. And then he mentions another hadith that Tirmidhi mentions as tafsir of this ayat from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And in summary, it's the hadith about Adam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him his offspring, and Allah had given a light to the different people, and he saw one whose light was very bright, and he was amazed at it, and he asked, who is this? And he told him, this is one of your children from the end of time, one of your offspring from the end of time. And who was that? Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. He said, how much time have you given him to live? He said, 60 years. So Adam alayhi salam, he said, give him 40 years from mine. Give him 40 years from me. MashaAllah. But then when it came time for Adam to, his life to be taken, the angel came to him to take his soul. He said, don't I have 40 more years left? The angel told him, didn't you give 40 years to Dawood? Your son Dawood? So the Prophet ﷺ said that Adam denied, and therefore his offspring denied, and Adam forgot, and his offspring forgot, and Adam erred. his offspring erred. And he forgot. Naam. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions a lot about this ayat. And it's very, very important. A lot of things that he said, we're just trying to summarize some of it. So anyway, he says, before completing the discussion of this ayat, he said, these ahadith, that we mentioned and the ones that we skipped, indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istakhraja dhurriyata Adam min sulbihi, that Allah took the offspring of Adam from his back, from his loins. وَمَيَّزَ بَيْنَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ, and he distinguished between those offspring of Adam that would be from the people of paradise and the people of the hellfire. And these hadith prove this. As far as them bearing witness against itself that Allah is the Rabb, he has some discussion about this. The essence of the matter is that, he said, what is intended by this is that he made it their natural inclination to be inclined towards Tawheed. Yani the intended meaning of this is not just the words that they bear witness that Allah is the Rabb, but rather that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being with the natural inclination, the natural disposition to worship Him alone. And this is what is mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that we mentioned, that every child is born upon the fitrah. And also the hadith of Iyad ibn Himar, radiallahu anhu, that Allah in the hadith Qudsi, where Allah said, I have created my servants hunafa. Yani what he means by this, that what is intended by this ayat, Alastu bi Rabbikum, is not just the words that they said we bear witness, but rather Allah put it in their nature, their natural disposition. He created them upon the fitrah of worshipping Him alone. This is how He created the human beings. And he also says in summary that this event is a hujjah alayhim fil ishraq. It is a proof against the human being from committing shirk with Allah. This will be a proof against them. In addition to the prophets and messengers who came and called the people to Tawheed. But nobody can escape from this one. Allah put it in their nature, the natural inclination to worship Allah alone. So that's some of what he said concerning it. After this, the Shaykh mentions three hadith. The first of them, there's a lot of discussion about these hadith, and this is not the place for it. We don't have the time to discuss them in detail. And maybe it's not even appropriate, because some of us might have interest in hadith and studies of hadith, and some of us might not have that interest or the inclination to bear patiently such lengthy discussions about hadith. But anyway, in summary, I will say that the first hadith is narrated from Ishaq ibn Rahway. He was a great imam and scholar and hafidh and mujtahid, from the scholars of the people of Sunnah. And he died a few years before Imam Ahmed, so he was from that time period. And he died in the year 238. And he maybe 3 or 4 years before Imam Ahmed. So he lived in the same time. And he was a great imam, even though he might not be famous to the common people, but he was a great imam. The first hadith is narrated from him. There's discussion about this hadith. At-Tabari mentions it in his tafsir. Ibn Kathir mentions it in his tafsir. Abu Dawud mentions the hadith, but from a different narrative from Ibn Umar. Imam Ahmed also mentioned part of the hadith. And Shaykh al-Albani, in his checking of Kitab al-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, he said that the hadith is sahih. Shaykh al-Albani said that the hadith is sahih. And like I said, there's discussion about the authenticity of it. There's difference of opinion. But at least some of the scholars considered it to be sahih. At-Tabari mentioned it, Ibn Kathir mentioned it, Abu Dawud mentioned it, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. So, the Shaykh, he mentions that Ishaq ibn Rahway, rahimahullah, he says that, a man, anna rajulan qala ya Rasulullah, atub tada'u al-amalu am qad mada al-qada'a. Are the deeds that we are doing, like in the previous hadith, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Suraqah ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said, yani, the deeds that we are doing right now, أَفِيمَا جَفَّتْ بِهِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَرَتْ بِهِ الْمَقَادِرُ أَمْ فِيمَا نَسْتَقْبَلُ. Yani, the deeds that we are doing now today, are they yani, locked into, based upon what the pen that has dried up has written, and the pre-decrees have been executed with, or are they something from the future, meaning that they are happening as we go along? Is it something pre-decreed, locked down, based upon Allah's perfect knowledge and what He has recorded? Or is it something that's not yet known? It may happen any however we decide. And a similar question came in this hadith. At-tub tada'u al-a'mal. Yani, are our deeds that we're doing now initiated right now? Am qad mada al-qada? Or is it that the pre-decree that has already been decided, and the matter has been preordained and decided? Which one is it? Is it open or is it closed? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى لما أخرج ذرية آدم من ظهره أشهدهم على أنفسهم. Yani, that indeed Allah the Most High, when He brought forth the offspring of Adam from his back, from his loins, He made them to bear witness against themselves. أشهدهم على أنفسهم. ثم أفاض بهم في كفيه. Then He put them, and He brought them out and put them in His two palms, in the two palms of His hands. فقال هؤلاء للجنة وهؤلاء للنار. Then He said, these, and this group, they are for the paradise. They will be in the paradise. And these, the other group, they are for the hellfire. فَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مُيَسَّرُونَ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ مُيَسَّرُونَ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. So the people of Jannah, those who have been, it has been pre-decreed that they will be in Jannah, it will be made easy for them to do the deeds of the people of Jannah. And the people of the hellfire, it will be made easy for them to do the deeds of the people of hellfire. So, from this hadith, one important point is that nobody knows if they are from the people of Jannah or not. So nobody should say, well, since it's already decreed, we don't have to do anything. But rather, we must do something, and it will be made easy. And whoever is inclined towards good, and they strive and struggle to do good and ask Allah's help to do good, Allah will make it easy for them. Allah will make it easy for them. How can you not do good if you know that? How can you not every day start your day praising Allah, glorifying Allah, making Salatul Fajr, and asking Allah to help you in that day to do good? And make a plan to do good, and then try to do it. How can you not do that when we have been told that Allah will make it easy for you? If you are from the people of Jannah, how will you be from the people of Jannah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets and messengers. He revealed the Quran as a guidance so people will know right from wrong. And He gave us the ability, limited free will, to choose what we want to do. So it's up to you. You know right from wrong. Now you have the ability to choose and do what you want to do. It's up to you. So people choose to be in the hellfire. That's their choice. They're not forced to. Rather, they choose to. They know right from wrong. And Allah gives them limited free will to make a choice and the ability to execute their will. And then they do what they want to do. And then they suffer the consequences. So it's incumbent upon us to understand that yes, it is pre-decreed, meaning Allah already knew when He recorded it. But the choice is ours. When we know right, we have to try to do it. And we know wrong, we have to leave it. In the previous hadith, in the hadith of Suraqah ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked that question, is it already decided, is it pre-decreed? He said, I'malu, act, do good deeds. فَقُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ, for every person will be facilitated, made easy for him. In the other narration, كُلُّ عَامِلٍ مُيَسَّرٌ لِعَمَلِهِ. Every person, every doer of deeds, will be made easy for him to do his deed, and he whether good or evil. And what we're talking about here, we're talking about the second level of the divine pre-decree, that is the recording, the writing. And we're talking about specifically at taqdeer al-umri, yani the lifetime pre-decree that was written and recorded at the time when the when the mithaq, yani the covenant, was taken from the children of Adam before we were brought into this world. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions, he says, وَفِي الْمُوَطَّةِ أَنَّ أُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ سُئِلَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. This is the hadith that Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir, one of those hadith that he mentions. And it's recorded in the Muwatta that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was asked about this ayat. Which ayat? وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمٍ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدَنَا. Yani, when your Rabb took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their offspring, and caused them to bear witness against themselves, am I not your Rabb? And they said, yes, indeed, we bear witness. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was asked about this ayah. And this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood. And Abu Dawood's narration has some weakness in it. And it's also reported by At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, and he said that it is Hassan. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said that this hadith, and he is authentic, not the narration in Abu Dawood, but in another narration that's similar to it in meaning. And he mentioned in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah, hadith number 3071. In any case, again, we're saying that there's difference of opinion about this hadith. Some of the narrations definitely have weakness in them, and some scholars, and he considered them to be Hassan, and some scholars considered it to be Da'if. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Sahih. And he due to the various chains of narration. It's reported in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. And the other scholars who recorded it, they reported it through the chain that came from Imam Malik in his Muwatta. So he was asked about this ayat, فَقَالَ عُمَرْ بْنَ الْخَطَابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُسْأَلُ عَنْهَا. He said that I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم being asked about this very same ayah. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى خَلَقَ آدَمَ ثُمَّ مَسَحَ ظَهْرَهُ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ ذُرِّيَّةً فَقَالَ خَلَقْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ لِلنَّارِ وَبِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ يَعْمَلُونَ. الحديث بطوله. يعني the Shaykh, he narrates this hadith in brief, and then he says, and he indicates that the hadith is a long hadith, but he didn't mention the whole of the hadith. He just mentioned this part of the hadith, that he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being asked about the same ayah, and he said that indeed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created Adam. And then he wiped over his back, and brought out from him his offspring. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have created these, yani some of the offspring of Adam, for the fire. And with the actions of the people of the fire, and they will act upon that. They will do the actions of the people of hellfire. And he doesn't mention the rest of the hadith, but he indicates that, yani al-hadith bituli, means that it's a long hadith, but he didn't mention the whole of it. So when you go back to the Muwatta of Imam Malik, he mentions the chain of the narration, and he mentions that Umar ibn al-Khattab was asked about, radiallahu anhu, about this ayah, and he said, yani as we mentioned here, that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking about this, being asked about this ayah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the complete narration of the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى خَلَقَ آدَمَ ثُمَّ مَسَحَ ظَهْرَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ ذُرِّيَّةً. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created Adam, and then he wiped over his back with his right hand, بِيَمِينِهِ. Okay, the first wiping, he said with his right hand. فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ ذُرِّيَّةً. And then he brought out from him his offspring. So which offspring you think he's going to bring out with the wiping of the right hand? Naam. فَقَالَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ لِلْجَنَّةِ. I have created these for the paradise. وَبِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَعْمَلُونَ. And they will be acting, doing the actions of the people of paradise. So if a person doesn't do the actions of the people of paradise, how do they expect to be in paradise? Because the people that's created for paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have created them for paradise, and they will be doing the actions of the people of paradise. So we have to ask ourselves, which actions are we doing? If we are doing the actions of the people of hellfire, how do we expect to be in paradise? Every single day a person has to ask themselves, am I doing the deeds of the people of paradise or the people of hellfire? Wallahi, you have to ask yourself. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, in the famous important saying of Umar, subhanAllah, tremendous, azeem, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلًا تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. Take account of yourself before Allah takes account of you. That's inevitable. If you don't take account of yourself, don't worry, the account will be taken, but it'll be too late then. Then, the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ مَسَحَ ظَهْرَهُ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ ذُرِّيَّةً. Then he wiped over his back and he brought out offspring of Adam. Then he wiped over his back. It doesn't say with which hand. فَقَالَ خَلَقْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ لِلنَّارِ. And that's significant. That the Prophet ﷺ said, then Allah wiped over his back and brought out other offspring. But he doesn't mention which hand he wiped with. That's significant. That's not by accident he forgot to say. There's meaning to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them out and he said, خَلَقْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَبِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ يَعْمَلُونَ. I have created these for the hellfire and they will do the deeds, the actions of the people of hellfire. And the hadith goes on. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلِ. Here the question came again. A man said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, so what is the, what, and he, so where are these deeds? What are we doing this? Why are we doing deeds? It's already decided. Allah already created these people for the paradise and these people for the hellfire. قَالَ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا خَلَقَ الْعَبْدَ لِلْجَنَّةِ اسْتَعَمَلَهُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَمُوتَ عَلَى عَمَلٍ مِنْ عَمَالِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيُدْخِلُهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. That indeed Allah, when He creates a servant for the Jannah, He causes him to do the deeds of the people of Jannah. حَتَّى يَمُوتَ عَلَى عَمَلٍ مِنْ عَمَالِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Until he dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of Jannah. And a person has to die doing the deeds of the people of Jannah. It's not enough just to do some good deeds for a few days or a few weeks or a few years. Rather, you have to make sure, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. You don't die except in submission to Allah upon Tawheed, doing the deeds of the people of paradise, ending your life doing those deeds. Because the, what a person dies upon, that will determine what will be their destination. Not what you did before that, and then you got left it, and then you started doing something else. So the Prophet ﷺ said, so he will cause him to do the deeds of the people of Jannah until he dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of Jannah. He will die making salat. He will die making dhikr or dua or reading Quran or doing some deed from the deeds of the people of Jannah. And then he will be caused to enter the Jannah by it, by that deed. وَإِذَا خَلَقَ الْعَبْدُ لِلنَّارِ. And if he creates a person for the hellfire, استعمله بعملي أهل النار, then he will cause him to do a deed from the people of the fire, حتى يموت على عمل من عمال أهل النار, until he dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of hellfire. فيدخله به النار, and then he will cause him to enter the hellfire by that, due to that deed. نعم. So we see from these hadith the importance of doing good deeds. There's no escape from it. It's not enough just to say you believe. Rather, the Muslims understand the importance of action. That iman, part of iman, is action, doing good deeds. That iman is conviction in the heart, it's speech on the tongue, and it's actions by the limbs of the body. And it increase and decrease. Increase with actions of obedience to Allah, and decrease with actions of disobedience to Allah. So a person's iman is affected by the actions. Actions are very, very important. Our iman is strengthened and increased by doing good deeds. And it is decreased by doing acts of disobedience to Allah. or by abandoning the doing of good deeds, by not doing them. And then, there's a few other points here. We'll try to just mention one or so. It's mentioned that أَجْمَعْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ عَلَىٰ إِنَّ in this hadith we mention Allah بِيَمِينِهِ, that He wiped over the back of Adam with His right hand. So it is agreed upon by consensus of Ahlul Sunnah that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sifa, a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not like the hand of created beings. So we affirm that Allah has a hand, but we don't say it is like the hand of any created being. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, because there is nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Meaning that there is negation, there is nothing like Him. So there is no comparison between the sifat of Allah, His hand or otherwise, and the sifat of the human beings. And then there's affirmation, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that He is indeed the all-hearing and all-seeing. So we affirm Allah's hearing and Allah's sight, and in this case we affirm Allah's hand, but negating the likeness that it is like or similar to anything from the created beings. And also there are many other points. I'll mention one other point, that the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah creates a person for the Jannah, He causes him to do the deeds of the people of Jannah. Meaning He makes it easy for him to do it. Until he dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of Jannah, and then he enters Jannah, bihi, yani فَيُدْخِلُهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ, he enters Jannah by that deed. He doesn't enter Jannah by that deed, meaning that deed is the price that he paid for Jannah. But he enters Jannah by that deed, meaning that in exchange for him doing a good deed, Allah gave him Jannah. Purely by His mercy and His favor. Not that the person did so many good deeds so they earned the Jannah by deeds. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, no person will enter the Jannah, nor any person will be saved from the hellfire by their deeds alone. And they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ, except that Allah covers me with His rahmah and His mercy. So we want to understand here that he will enter Jannah by that deed, meaning that in exchange for him exerting himself and striving and making the effort to do deed, so Allah, out of His mercy and His favor, His rahmah and His fadl, so He admitted him into Jannah by His rahmah and His mercy. And also the deeds, وَإِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْآخِرِ, like in another hadith, that a person's deeds, yani, will be decided by the end of them, the last deeds that they did. And that's why it's so important that we ask Allah, constantly ask Allah, make our hearts firm, to make our hearts firm, and don't let us deviate after You have guided us, so that we can remain on track on this path and die doing the right deeds. Indeed, the reward and the punishment is not purely based upon deeds. Rather, the reward and punishment is based upon the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And punishment is based upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His pre-decree. That a person, He knows that a person would do evil, so because they're inclined to evil, He leaves them to do what they want to do. And this is something that Allah has decreed, that people would do good and people would do evil while they were in the loins of their fathers, or while every human being, while we were non-existent. فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَدْأَبَ فِي الصَّالِي الْأَعْمَالِ فَإِنَّهَا أَمَارَ إِلَى مَآلْ أَمْرِهِ غَالِبًا. So it is incumbent upon the person to make every effort to leave nothing undone in striving and struggling to do righteous deeds. Naam. For indeed those righteous deeds are a sign of where our destination will be, generally speaking, most of the time. It is an indication. Of course, unless it is like the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that a person will do the deeds of the people of paradise, فِيمَا يَبْدُ لِلنَّاسِ, in that which appears to the people. It will look like they are doing the deeds of the people of paradise, but the reality is something else. But generally speaking, the deeds of a person will be an indication of where they will end up. So it is incumbent upon us to be careful that we don't become confused. Why should we do deeds then if it's already decided? Because this thought, whoever accepts that idea, this will cause them to abandon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will definitely be a loser. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't allow the person to take this position. But rather, he made us to know that Allah is knowing it is one thing, but nonetheless, you cannot abandon doing good deeds, you have to act upon it. And the time is short, so we look at the last hadith that the Shaykh mentions, fit Tirmidhi. If the adhan is called, inshallah, we'll listen to the adhan and repeat what the muallim says, and then we'll complete after the adhan, inshallah. في الترمذي من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو رضي ابن العاص رضي الله عنهما يعني الترمذي narrates the hadith from عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما that he said خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي يده كتابان that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to us and he had in his hand two books فقال أتدرون ما هذان الكتابان do you all know what these two books are فَقُلْنَا لَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَن تُخْبِرَنَا No, we don't know, Messenger of Allah, unless you inform us. فَقَالَ لِلَّذِي فِي يَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى So he said to the one that was in his right hand, هَذَا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ This book is from the Lord of the Worlds. فِيهِ أَسْمَاءَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَسْمَاءُ آبَائِهِمْ وَقَبَائِلِهِمْ ثُمَّ أَجْمَلَ عَلَى آخِرِهِمْ فَلَا يُزَادُ فِيهِمْ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا يعني this book is from the Lord of the Worlds and in it is the names of the people of Jannah أَسْمَاءُ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَسْمَاءُ آبَائِهِمْ and the names of their fathers وَقَبَائِلِهِمْ and the names of their tribes ثُمَّ أَجْمَلَ عَلَى آخِرِهِ and then he didn't mention the details but he just mentioned in general to the end of it فَلَا يُزَادُ فِيهِمْ And nothing will be added to them, to the people of Jannah, whose names are in this book. وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا And nothing will be decreased from it. And whoever's name is in here, those are the people of Jannah. Nobody will be added to it. And none of them will be taken out. فَقَالَ أَصْحَابُهُ Again the question, فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلِ So, his companions, they said, so what is the purpose of deeds then? What is the benefit of our actions, Ya Rasulullah? إِنْ كَانَ أَمْرًا قَدْ فُرِغَ مِنْهُ Yani if the matter has already been decided, it's finished, it's concluded, it's settled. So why are we doing deeds? Okay, this question came to us so many times already, right? The last hadith that the Shaykh mentions, the hadith of Tirmidhi from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Prophet ﷺ came out to them and his hand two books. He said, do you know what these two books are? They said, no, Messenger of Allah, unless you inform us. He said to the one in his right hand, هذا كتاب من رب العالمين this is the book from the Lord of the world this book is from the Lord of the world containing the names of the people of Jannah and their fathers and their tribes to the end of them he mentioned in general he said nothing will be increased upon this and nothing will be decreased from it ever ثم قال للذي في شماله then he said to that which was in his left hand the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said هذا كتاب من رب العالمين this is a book from the Lord of the worlds في أسماء أهل النار وَأَسْمَاءُ أَبَائِهِمْ وَقَبَائِلِهِمْ This is a book from the Lord of the Worlds and in it is the names, are the names of the people of the hellfire and the names of their fathers and the names of their tribes. To the end of them, he mentioned in general, فَلَا يُزَادُ يعني ثُمَّ أَجْمَلَ عَلَىٰ آخِرِهِمْ فَلَا يُزَادُ فِيهِ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْهُمْ أَبَدًا So he said, This one contains the names of the people of hellfire, none will be increased and none will be decreased from it. His companions asked him, so then what is the purpose of deeds if the matter is already decided? And the Prophet ﷺ, this time he answered with these words. What is the purpose of deeds? فَقَالَ سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا And these two words have a lot of meanings. In other hadith, some of the scholars have mentioned the meanings of these words. And the meaning is like, comprehensive. But the general meaning of saddidu means to aim or to strive for perfection. يعني for success, hitting the mark. سددوا وقاربوا يعني, and if you didn't reach يعني that level of perfection that you're aiming for, but you fell short some, at least try to get near to it. قاربوا, don't يعني just give up and drop out. سددوا وقاربوا, aim for perfection. Try to worship Allah completely, perfectly. Submit to Allah totally, total surrender. And if you fall short in anything, then at least try to get near to it. فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ الْجَنَّةِ يُخْتَمُ لَهُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. For indeed, the person who will be in the Jannah, his deeds will be concluded, will be sealed with a deed from the deeds of the people of paradise. يُخْتَمُ لَهُ, يعني his life will be sealed with a deed from the deeds of the people of paradise. وَإِنْ عَمِلَ أَيِّ عَمَلٍ, even if he has done any deed, يعني whatever deed he has done, يعني whatever happened before that, if he's from the people of Jannah, his life will end with a deed from the people of Jannah, no matter what deeds he has done before that. وَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ النَّارِ, and the person who will be in the hellfire, يُخْتَمُ لَهُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, his life will be sealed with a deed from the deeds of the people of the hellfire. وَنْ عَمِلَ أَيَّ عَمَلٍ, no matter what deeds he has done, يعني before that. But his final deed, the one that determines the matter, will be in accordance with the place of his destination. ثُمَّ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَدِهِ فَنَبَذَهُمَا. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني he did like this with his hand. قَالَ بِيَدِهِ means فَعَلَ بِيَدِهِ. He يعني like he is throwing something away. ثُمَّ قَالَ فَرَغَ رَبُّكُمْ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ, يعني يا رب, he has finished with the servants, يعني the matter is completed, the matter is decided. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ, a party, a group will be in the paradise and another group will be in the hellfire. And just briefly concerning this hadith, there are some matters, but I'll mention just one of them, that this particular hadith, there's some discussion about it also, but some of the scholars, great scholars of the people of Sunnah, like Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, criticized this hadith, and al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, al-Asqalani, yani responded to him, to his criticism. And so from amongst the scholars who accepted this hadith is al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And from amongst the scholars who accepted this hadith is al-Tirmidhi, who narrated it. And from the later day scholars, al-Imam al-Shawkani and Sheikh Ahmed Shakir and Sheikh al-Albani and Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi, rahimahum Allah, may Allah have mercy upon all of them. So we can see that sometimes there's a difference of opinion about hadith, but we can look at the scholars of the past, and we can look at the scholars of the present, and we can see some of the greatest scholars of the past, like Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and some of the greatest scholars of the present, like Al-Imam al-Shawkani, and Ahmed Shaq, and Al-Albani, and Sheikh Muqbil, have agreed to the authenticity of this hadith. Concerning this hadith, I just want to make one point in closing, and that is, it has been said in the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, وهذان الكتابان اللذان أخذهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس هما كتابان اللذان كذب الله فيهما أسماء أهل الجنة وأهل النار. That these two books which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم took hold of are not the two books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself wrote the names of the people of Jannah and Nar in. وإنما ذلك تمثيل من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But rather this was an example from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم تقريب إلى أفهام الناس بأن الله سبحانه وتعالى علم كل شيء مما سيكون وما يصير إليه العباد. Meaning that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not have in his hand two books that had the name of every human being that's going to live in the earth, that ever lived in the earth, and the names of their fathers and grandfathers to the end of them. He did not have in his hand two books with the name of every human being that would live in the earth. One for the people of paradise and the people of hellfire. And this was the criticism of Al-Imam al-Zahabi, that this book would be quite heavy. How will he carry these books? And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani responded to him saying that that it's not a necessity that these books would be the heavy books that we would imagine, because this is a mu'ajiza azima. This is a great miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in his hand some books that would be as an example to the people, not that these are the actual books that contained every name and Allah knows best, but rather this was to give the people an idea that they can understand the meaning, that the knowledge of everything that will happen and the destinations of all of the people, that is known to Allah. And Allah wrote it to confirm His knowledge and to confirm that there would be no change in it and no substituting of anyone for anyone else. Yani the fact that it is written, it means that it's already decided, that Allah knew it and He concluded it. It's fixed. It's not going to be any change in it. And Allah knows best. And if yani there is some other meaning to this hadith, then yani if it is literal, yani purely literal, then it is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. And if the meaning of it is as some of the scholars said, then it could be either one. Yani it could be literal, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani hinted to, that is a miracle, or it may be that this was an example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making in order for the people to understand that Allah has recorded all of this knowledge and information based on His knowledge, that He knew it all and He recorded it all, and it is finalized, it is concluded, and there is no change to take place in it. And Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have a few minutes if there's a question about what we discussed tonight, something that's not clear. Now, it's not really clear exactly what is the problem that you are addressing, but in any case, in general, trying to explain this matter, Al-Qadr, trying to explain it may not be the easiest thing to do, okay? And it is something a person should be careful with, that they don't try to explain it and, you know, confuse the person even further. The purpose of this class is for us to understand this matter thoroughly. That's why we're taking our time. Otherwise, we could just read the ayats and read the hadith and keep going, and we'll be finished by now. But the purpose of taking the time to read the ayats and the tafsir and read the hadith and bring some explanation from the scholars is so that we have a chance to dwell on each of these matters little by little, and perhaps retain some of the understanding of some of it and memorize some of it, so that by the end it becomes crystal clear to us. Whatever we didn't understand should be clear by the end. So I would suggest that this is a matter that people shouldn't try to explain. Don't try to explain it to anyone unless you have yourself understood it thoroughly and it's very clear to you, and you know the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and you've read the explanations of these things from the scholars, so that you're sure that what you're explaining is correct and that you're not misleading somebody or confusing them. And when it's clear to you, then explain it to somebody. So what I mean by that is that we should only convey to the people that which we ourselves know and understand properly. Otherwise, we're not responsible for conveying to people that which we don't know and we don't understand. We're not responsible for that. But the simplest way to explain what Muslims believe in according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and Qadr is what we mentioned in the beginning, that there are four aspects of this, of the Aqidah in Qadr, of Iman in Qadr. There are four aspects. If a person knows those four aspects and understands the basics of each of them, then it will become clear, and it can pretty much explain and clarify and answer any question that comes to them. The first of them, as we said in the beginning of this session, that Allah has knowledge of everything. So if a person wants to understand the pre-decree, divine pre-decree, it means that Allah knows everything. It doesn't mean that Allah forced anybody to do anything. But it means that Allah knew everything. He has perfect knowledge. He's the Lord of the worlds, the creator of the heavens and earth, the supreme being. He knows everything. So He knows what people are going to do. When they came into this world, and he guided them to show them right and wrong, and gave them free will, limited free will, subject to His will, to do what they want to do and the ability to execute their will, He knows that some people, they're going to actually try to do right, and some people are not. He knows that. So He didn't force them to do that, but He knows it. And He recorded what He knew. So it's written, because He knows it, and He recorded what He knew. As far as the will of Allah, we believe that the third level of qaza, we believe then that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. But the will of Allah is of two types. One, the will of Allah, what Allah loves, and what He legislates, what He loves us to do, and what He's pleased with. And some people may do it and may not do it. But that's the will of Allah. That may or may not happen. And the other aspect of the will of Allah is that which Allah decided it must happen. And it may be from what He loves or what He's pleased with or what He doesn't love and He's not pleased with. But based on His perfect wisdom, He decided this must happen. And this must happen. Nobody can go outside of that. Nobody can will something else and they can do what they will. Rather, that's why we say human beings have limited free will. You have the free will to choose, but it's subject to Allah's divine will, which is over everybody's will. So there's limited free will. It's not absolute free will. It's not that the people don't have any free will, and it's not that they have absolute free will, but their will is subject to Allah's will. And the last matter is that nothing happens in this world. Huh? You don't understand that? It means that when Allah wills a person to die, for example, even if they are Superman, or they're rich, or they're powerful, or whatever, they will, I'm not going to die. Their will is subject to Allah's will. They're going to die, no matter what they will. That's what it means. That when Allah wills something, whether it's life or death, or poverty, or affluence, or whatever it is, person going to have knowledge or not, it's subject to Allah. But the human being can make an effort to learn, for example. You can will to have knowledge, and then make an effort to learn. And then you will learn, inshallah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, that a person would get knowledge by seeking it, by studying. So you can learn. So that means you can have a will to learn and learn. You can have a will to work hard and earn something in this world and do it. But it's still subject to Allah's will. It's not absolute. That, okay, I will to open up, to have a farm and to grow some crops and I work hard at it and guess what? Maybe nothing will come up. Maybe, if Allah has willed otherwise. That means that our will and our effort and everything is still subject to Allah's will. Because His will is divine and perfect and complete. Okay, and then Allah is the creator of everything. It means that nothing happens in this world. Nothing comes into this world. No creature does anything, says anything, whatever, except that Allah is the creator of it. Meaning that everything that we do, Allah is the creator of our actions in that. He is the one who created us. And He is the one who created our will. And He is the one who created our ability to execute our will. Therefore, when we do something based on our will and our ability to execute our will, all of it goes back to Allah. Because we don't have any will and we don't have any ability to do what we will except that Allah created it for us. So He's the creator of us and our will and our ability to execute our will. Therefore, He's the creator of our actions. Not that He does the action. But the ultimate source is with Allah. He's the creator of everything. And that's like simple summary of the matter. But as we go through these levels, inshallah, we'll discuss it in detail. And we'll stop here, inshallah, unless there's anybody has an important question that related to what we talked about tonight. Okay, so we'll stop here then. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.